Friday. Man, I'm a bit sloppy today, I've got to say. Ellie Ventura is here. I was just gossiping with her.
Hello, how are you?
Ellie used to work here at RNZ, and I would say we were taking the opportunity to catch up, but we also work together at TV3 now, so...
We just can't get away from each other.
Yeah, weirdly. Ellie's talking movies in a moment, and then we'll go to New Zealand Live with Dictaphone Blues. We've got a recipe for Mediterranean baked feta. What do you reckon?
Oh, yeah. Is that the viral?
It's not, but Jess Daniel has heard about this TikTok trend, so she's just going to share her own baked feta recipe. What do you know about the TikTok trend?
Well, to me, it seems like, you know, a big fan of pasta in all its forms and a big fan of cooking. It seems to me a kind of quite a over-the-top way to make a pasta sauce.
What do they do?
Well, you put feta in a baking tray and then you put tomatoes around it and I think probably like balsamic and stuff and then you bake it and then you mix it all up and you put cooked pasta in it and then you've got a sauce. But I mean, you could probably just crumble like feta into cooked pasta and it would be just as good. Although I haven't made it and I've heard it's amazing, so who knows?
Yeah, well, you're the film reviewer, not the meal reviewer. But
look, if you want to give me another job, why not?
you've been to Cousins. This sounds amazing.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, I say it sounds amazing. The producer of the movie told me it was amazing, so obviously she is going to think it's amazing. But...
Well, actually, I do think I maybe have to have like a disclaimer because the producer of the movie, Libby Hakaraya, who you spoke to yesterday, she's also the auntie of my flatmate.
And best friend.
Yeah, and my best friend. So I do feel like there is slight bias there. However,
it is New Zealand, and trying to find somebody who is not connected to a film in some way to review it is pretty challenging.
Especially when it is a truly New Zealand made movie. Mm. You know, there's going to be, everyone has a connection. I mean, I went to the screening of it and, you know, everyone there was sort of, I knew or was well known, saw Benny in the toilets, you know, it was just that kind of, it was such a Kiwi thing. It was amazing. but the treat was actually seeing the screening of it. The treat was that Ainsley Gardner and Briar Grace Smith, who wrote and directed this movie, told us a little bit about it before, how it got made, which I don't know if Libby went into yesterday, but it's been a really long time coming. Meta was going to make this movie, wanted to make this movie, but during her time, people just didn't really want to have a movie about Wahine Māori by a Wahine Māori. Like,
No thanks.
Not now. And, you know, when I was watching afterwards, even though you think, oh, man, it's a shame that it took so long, but I'm so glad so much work was put into it and I'm so glad that now we can tell these stories. Yeah.
Because when it is made, you want to make sure that it is made into the best movie it possibly can be.
Absolutely. And I think I just have to, it's just incredible shout outs to Libby and Ainsley and Briar for, you can feel the love that was put into this movie. You can feel how it was made to be. It's such a beautiful and moving piece. And I think the fact that it is told by Māori women is so important and that, you know, their touches throughout it. So the, for some people who don't know, it is based on this book by Patricia Grace. And as the name suggests, it's about cousins. These three cousins who, it's effectively told, not chronologically, it's told in different times of their lives. Mm-hmm. And they're interwoven and, you know, we find out about the woman that they become because of choices not made by themselves. So the main story in it is about Mata. So she is sort of taken away from her family. She's put in a home, I guess, of some sort. And this is in the 50s, and she's given a Pākehā name and effectively ripped away from her land, her people, and being sort of forced to be Pākehā and sort of told that being Māori is not something that you should want to be and shouldn't be around it. And those things, I mean, they're our history and our truth, but they are really hard to watch. It is hard to see it, particularly from 2021, looking back. It's just awful. But she does get, they're trying to, her tupuna, her family are trying to bring you know, have her home, bring her home, and to grow up with her cousins. But they're not allowed to. She's allowed to go visit. So she goes to visit and she meets Makareta, her cousin, and her other one, Missy. And so we see them as these young children sort of in there. I think they'll probably be about 10 when they're, we see them as kids, and they have this wonderful summer together, and it's this beautiful summer. And Mata, she takes that sort of for the rest of her life. She looks back on this moment where she was with her family, but honestly for Mata it just gets worse from there. By the time we see her as an adult, she's without a home, she's walking the streets of Wellington. She clearly has mental health issues, and the story sort of tells us why. You know, it goes through all of this. She's just constantly let down by people, and she's
disconnected.
You know, she has no, she doesn't even really say that her name is Mata until she's, you know, well into her teenage years. She goes by May, and she doesn't understand why people don't want her, and it's heartbreaking. But you've also got the stories of Missy and Makareta on the side, and they're really interesting as well, because it's like telling the story of how different women can be and what they're expected to be. So Makareta is this beauty. She is an absolutely beautiful girl, and they can see that. So, you know, her family encourages her to be married off and you know, and be the one who goes and finds a husband and that. And yeah. Missy is really expected to be in the whare and clean and do the work on the land. And it's interesting how rebelling against that, they become these women.
Maori Bridgerton.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, there is, the acting in this is pretty incredible. And we've got Tania Heke, Rachel House, and Briar Grace Smith, who play the adult versions of all these women. But actually, I just want to give a huge shout out to the kids, and the rangatahi in this are just like incredible work. You know, it's so hard to, you're not meant to work with kids, right? Kids and animals. But these children are just fantastic. The sort of teenage years, we've got Anna Scottney, who plays Mata as like a teenager, late adult. Do you know her from her music?
I just thought Anna Scottney rings a bell, but not sure.
She's been in Shorten Street, and she's been a few other things. I know her from her music, which is pretty fantastic as well. Exceptional as Mata. She's quite weird, and she kind of, that works really well, because obviously Mata is going through this really internal struggle throughout the movie.
And you know where she's headed.
Yeah, exactly. And then we also have Te Ori Ori Melbourne plays Makareta, who again just commands the scene. She's obviously very attractive, but she's just also has this presence on scene, and just incredible work, I think, for someone that age. And finally, Missy, the young Missy. So she grows up to be Rachel House, or rather the actress is Rachel House when she's older. And she is played by Keani Patrick Williams. Again, I guess she must be about 10 or something, but she's so funny and great. You know how 10-year-old kids, you have those boisterous kind of precocious kids who are so brutally honest and funny, and they let that really shine in her scenes, which I love.
It's always a joy in Taika's films. The kids are always funny, and they're just such Kiwi kids, right?
Totally. And when I came out of that movie, we were all very fragile, because I have to say it is heavy. It is a heavy, heavy tale, and I would applaud anyone who doesn't bawl their eyes out, honestly. But I really had feelings of when I left Boy, or when I left Whale Rider, when you leave these movies that are, you just think that's like a Kiwi classic. That's the stories that we need to hear about our Aotearoa, our land. We've got to hear these stories about what happened to our people, and it's just, it was incredible, and honestly, I think everyone should go and watch it. It was lovely. It was just great.
So you think it might end up being one of those, you know, Once Were Warriors, you mentioned Whale Rider.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, one of those movies is a classic.
It is a classic, and just because it touches on so many different parts of, first of all, we don't have that many stories about Māori women, at the forefront as well, not as side characters, their actual stories. But also I think because we have this, we're talking about the 50s when children were ripped away, and I felt a lot of connections to the discussions we're having now about uplifted children with Oranga Tamariki, and all of those stories are important now as they were then.
Amazing. Ali Ventura she's been talking about Cousins, which is not out actually till next week, I think.
It's not out till next week, and it will be in cinemas across the country. And also, because I'll just go right in on this biasness, but it's also going to be shown at Māori Land, which is the Indigenous Film Fest in Ōtaki, which is at the end of March.
Okay. You've also been to see Supernova.
I've been to see Supernova, which, another really moving story, and also another one which, quite a hard watch.
Really?
It's a lovely watch, but it is quite hard. I think for anyone who has a parent or grandparent or family member who's gone through dementia or Alzheimer's or any, I guess, debilitating disease that takes away the person that you knew, this will be quite hard. I had sort of a similar kind of disease.
You've had a tough week.
I know, I don't know if you ever saw that movie Still Alice with Julianne Moore.
No.
That was about her going through Alzheimer's, and that was horrific. Like, I couldn't actually watch that. This one is much more loving. This is basically a story of a couple, two men who have been together for years, and they're in their 60s, and now they are, one of them has got dementia, and he's not going to last that long. And it's just about the final trip that they take together in a camper van to go and see friends, and they are just going through this disease and how they deal with it. Now, look, I should have said this at the very start. Stanley Tucci and Colin Firth are that couple, and there is almost nothing that would not make me want to see this.
Stanley Tucci went viral during lockdown last year making a Negroni. Apparently, this is a video, this charming home video of him making a cocktail at home.
Yeah, I've got it saved.
What was it about the video? I didn't get it when I saw it.
So, I mean, to give you an idea, Stanley Tucci also has just got a TV show on CNN, I believe, which is him going to Italy and just eating pasta and pizza and that sort of thing. And I've just seen that it's been renewed. And the reason is that I want to watch Stanley Tucci and everything. When I was looking at this movie, I had to go and Google how old Colin Firth and Stanley Tucci are. Stanley Tucci is 60 years old. And he looks, sorry, Jesse, he looks better than you.
Well, that's unnecessary.
You could have chosen anyone. But, he is so, I don't know what it is about him. And also, I will say, maybe it's the Italian in me that's coming out and just going, yes, that's a good-looking Italian man there.
I saw a theory recently that men are getting better looking after 50 these days.
Really?
William Zabka. Do you know William Zabka? Yeah.
Well, because I was thinking, Colin Firth, he looks great for his age, but he does look 60,
Yeah.
Like, he looks like he was a handsome man.
Yeah.
But you can see that he's aging a bit. Stanley Tucci looks 40. Like, it's crazy.
Okay. What do we need to find? An old woman who looks better than you now?
Yeah, anyone, literally any actress, probably. Because the thing is, that is common, Jesse. Women have always been told they need to look younger. Men, it's,
Okay, back to Supernova.
Yeah, look, I'm sorry for offending you. This movie is, as I said, Stanley Tucci, his name's Tusker in the movie, and he has dementia. And it's this slow moving love story, effectively, about what happens when either you're dying or someone that you love is dying and you just don't want to say goodbye. You won't let go. Colin Firth is doing everything he can. And it's hard. Looking after someone who has a disease is hard, as well as going through it yourself. And they have this beautiful relationship where they're arguing, you know, they've obviously been married for years. And also, I have to say, Colin and Stanley, I completely believed that they had been married for 40 years or something. Yeah. You know, they just had incredible chemistry. And really, I think their acting is probably some of the best that they have done in their careers, particularly for Stanley. They were just, you couldn't look away from them. And the whole story is really about that, about them going through this awful, awful thing, but still being in love and how that kind of overcomes it. It is like a BBC film, and I think that you can have an idea about it is, it's not like a fast-paced action movie. It's meant to be, so, and it really lets you slip into those moments. One thing I will say, it's slightly overwritten in that, you know, when you're angry with someone and you have a fight with someone that you love, you never say the right things. You say something stupid and then later in the shower you go, oh, I should have said this. You know, you win all the arguments.
And then you start the argument up again just so you can use the line that you have.
Yeah, you can use the line and then you forget the line and it just keeps going. Whereas, of course, in this, because it's so well written that these characters are just saying the most beautiful lines and you're thinking, that is gorgeous, that explains it so well. But also, would you think of that in the middle of an argument with your spouse? I don't think you would. Yeah. I completely forgive it for that because I was moved and I thought it was beautiful.
It's called Supernova. Before that, Ellie was reviewing Cousins. Thank you.
Thank you.